Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback, 715-845-2155. That is the phone number if you would like to be a part of it today. It's Friday, so it's Open Phone Friday. Anything that you would like to talk about, feel free. 715-845-2155. You officially are the producer of the program this morning. Sorry, no pay comes with that whatsoever. Let's get the ball rolling, and we'll just start with a topic that is hitting the news, making kind of a big splash. Tom, if I say the name of Dinesh D'Souza, what do you think?
Oh, I just read that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pundit that has been called to talk about political issues on many of the TV networks and talk shows. And
well, remember when I tried to get you to go to see the movie 2016, Obama's America?
Ah.
Remember that?
Was that his?
I tried to get you to come to dinner with me. I was going to buy you a steak. We'd go see the movie. Then we'd have an intellectual conversation of it.
Brainwash me, yeah.
No, I'm just trying to get you to come from the dark side. Uh-huh. He is the individual that wrote the book that the film was based on. The Roots of Obama's Rage is the name of the book, the film, 2016, Obama's America. You know, as far as films are concerned, it wasn't a huge hit. It made about $33 million in the box office. It was a very well done and very interesting look at the history and the family influences of Barack Obama. It made some interesting, it proposed some interesting theories into the thinking about corporate America and wealth distribution, redistribution. Very well done. I enjoyed it quite a bit. However, shortly after that film made some money, investigators began looking into D'Souza about whether or not he broke laws as far as campaign contributions are concerned. And as of yesterday, I believe, a federal grand jury has indicted him on charges, or he's accused of, this is what the indictment comes down on, the accusations are, quote, arranging excessive campaign contributions to a candidate for the U.S. Senate. He's accused of reimbursing, quote, people who had directed to, he had directed to contribute $20,000 to the campaign of a U.S. Senate candidate who is not named in the indictment. He's also charged on one count of causing false statements to be made.
So he would give them the money if they didn't have it, because he's limited to giving only
$2,500
one
a whack
donation.
Yeah.
So he's giving money to other people to make donations to whatever candidate this is.
Primary and then general election campaign contributions are limited to $2,500 each, so you could contribute $5,000. Limit of $5,000 from any one individual to any one candidate. Yeah, that's what he is being accused of reimbursing individuals that contributed funds to the person that he wanted to have the money sent to. And then one count of causing false statements to be made. Let me say this. If he did do this, if he directed this, this is against the rules, this is not appropriate, and he should bear the brunt of the punishment. Plain and simple. No special treatment, because he happens to be an individual that I feel took the reins of challenging Barack Obama. I don't think he should get any kind of special treatment at all. However, I would like to see one thing. I would like to see the same scrutiny on President Barack Obama's campaign contribution list. Really would. I'd like to see the Democrat candidates for this same Senate position also scrutinized. But we haven't heard too much about that. And we obviously know why, right? Because the Democrats did not break any laws.
Do we have some evidence that there was something illegal going on?
Obviously, there wasn't. Not one thing. Not one single misstep. Not one single problem. Because the IRS had to go after, that's right, conservative groups looking for tax-exempt status. They didn't have to go after the liberal groups. Why? Because the liberal groups are pristine and as pure as the driven snow.
Now you're getting it.
See? I understand now. There's no reason to have scrutiny for the campaign contributions on the left because they're fine. Everything's okay with that.
I would like to get rid of all campaign contributions.
Well, you can't.
Then you wouldn't have these situations.
Yeah, you can't do that. So we're going to say we're going to follow this story. We're going to find out what happens. Of course, the defense lawyer for Sousa, Benjamin Brofman, told, the Hollywood Reporter that D'Souza did not act with any corrupt or criminal intent whatsoever. At worst, this was an act of misguided friendship by D'Souza. That seems like a pretty thin defense to me.
Well, we'll see what his defenders have to say today.
Yeah.
When Rush and Sean and those guys get on the air. So.
Again, if he here's the point, and if the conservatives come out and say, "Well, just it's be," listen, if they come out today and say,
it's
"Well,
a
the
hunt.
Left,"
it's
no,
a witch
no,
hunt.
No, no, no. If the left does it all the time, and we're just the ones getting caught, so help me God, I'm gonna blow a gasket. Because I am sick and tired of that excuse being used.
Selective prosecution.
I am sick and tired of that excuse being used. They did it over there. The people on the left, they did it. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if he's guilty of it, if he's broken the law, he suffers the penalty. But I also want to see those on the other side that broke the law suffer the same fate. I'd like to see the law meted out equally. You know that whole thing, justice is blind? Huh, I'd like to actually see that. That's all I'm saying.
In America?
Yes, sir, in America.
In America, really?
Yes, sir,
in America. Justice is blind?
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. Kind of hot, too. Statue is, you know, she's not a skinny chick at all. She's kind of got some curves to her, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so there's that. And this is making the headlines in a lot of the news services. And yes,
a lot of the news services that you follow, yes.
And a lot of real news services, not the ones that say, "Oh, Justin Bieber, it's the big story. Justin Bieber got arrested." Oh, who cares?
Yeah, last night the three network news shows.
Did they lead with
him? Wait. NBC was doing a story on South Sudan. CBS was doing a story, I think, on Syria. ABC was doing a story on Justin Bieber, and somebody tweeted, "Peter Jennings is rolling over in his grave."
Yeah. Yeah, you watch the networks, and if you watch them critically like we do, you kind of go through, you'll see which one is struggling for ratings because they'll do the Bieber story. Oh, because they know that's what's popular, and it'll hopefully draw some viewers for them. What they don't realize is that nobody cares. And that, you know, Bieber is fine for Entertainment Tonight.
Well, I don't know if nobody cares.
No, it's fine. It's fine for the TV shows like ET, you know, Entertainment Tonight. And if you want to follow him on TMZ and the other thing, that's fine. It's entertainment news. It's not news. I don't care about Bieber. You know, I want to know what's going on with our.
Yeah, but that all changed when they decided to worry about ratings for news programs. It didn't used to be that way.
No, they
didn't used to worry about ratings for news programs.
Conley and I talked about this yesterday. It's now time for the networks to realize it's probably time for them to do away with network news. It's time to move on from that.
As opposed to the 24-hour news organizations like Fox and CNN who do it 24 hours
right.
a day as opposed to a half hour at
5:30. The news... And I said this yesterday. There was a news story on one of the network news things of a subject matter that was not really all that important. But you and I on this program, we had talked about it a week ago. And I remember thinking, okay, so they found something new. They're going to bring up this subject and they're going to report a new development. Nope.
Well, they only have 16 minutes a night when you figure in commercials, so they can't cover everything.
An hour program has 42 minutes. There's 18 minutes of commercials.
It's a half hour news.
All right, so they've got 21 minutes.
All right, 21 minutes.
Okay.
To cover every story of national and international importance.
So you pick and choose which ones.
That's
called editing.
That's why they're 4 days late they were covering.
It was a week late, and they didn't bring anything new to the story. If it's a week old, drop it. Move on to something else. Anyway, so we'll follow the investigation and the trial or whatever happens with Dinesh D'Souza. We'll follow it, and see what happens to it. This is going to be an interesting topic of conversation today, I'm sure. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I'd like to switch gears. By the way, Open Phone Friday. If you want to call and take over the conversation, please do. 715-845-2155.
Something tells me you won't let anybody take over the conversation.
No.
They can contribute, but...
Well, it depends. If they're respectful.
You've got the button over there. You're not letting anybody take over anything.
Which, by the way, I gotta hit that button and make sure that that's working properly. I want to talk about Eric Holder and a decision that he has made as far as allowing banking institutions to do business with those businesses in Colorado and Washington State that are selling marijuana legally. There's been a bit of a glitch in the smoothness of business. Eric Holder thinks that he has maybe worked out that issue and is doing a good thing. I'm wondering what the implications are going to be. We'll talk about that when we get back. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. This is Feedback.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back. It is Feedback, 715-845-2155. Okay, so we've talked about the legalization of marijuana a few times on the program. We've whacked that horse until it is room temperature and no longer moving. No longer need to discuss the merits of legalization of marijuana. There's a lot of momentum behind it, and I think there's going to be more states that will legalize it eventually, which is going to create, if something's not done, it's going to create a problem for the businesses that are selling this newly legalized weed. Colorado, Washington State have had these little shops pop open, as you can imagine. Entrepreneurs coming up and saying, hey, we got a license to grow it, and we are selling it. Here you go. And most of those businesses are a cash-only business, as you can understand. Which causes a problem, because when you are doing a cash-only business, you've got to make a daily deposit to the bank. Here's one little problem. The banks, federal institutions, are still guided by the racketeering, money laundering laws, and marijuana is still a federal crime. Trafficking, selling, and especially money laundering in connection with drug dealing is a federal crime. So banks have been hesitant to allow small businesses to make deposits. As you can imagine, what do you do? Well, Eric Holder came out and said, hey, I understand that this is a problem. He says in an address to a meeting or a lunch that he was attending, he says, you don't want to just have huge amounts of cash in these places, these purveyors of pot. They want to be able to use the banking system. He was appearing at the University of Virginia's Miller Center. He says there's a public safety component to this. Huge amounts of cash, substantial amounts of cash, just kind of laying around with no place for it to be appropriately deposited. This is something that worries me just from a law enforcement perspective. So what he's saying is he wants to kind of scale back the laws pertaining to the deposit of legally licensed marijuana distributors.
Make it legal for these places, right, or at least make it so it's not enforced that
right.
they accept these deposits,
right,
as opposed to the banking organizations mm-hmm. that are already laundering cartel money illegally in various places.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I started thinking, what if I were a drug cartel? Okay. I've got millions and millions and millions of dollars that are coming through my business, and a major headache is how to turn it from illegal cash into usable assets. Yeah, how do you take cash and turning it into an asset?
Normally they will have businesses like bars
sure.
and strip clubs and
bars,
car washes and
strip clubs, businesses and so forth. And one of the other things I'm going to think of is as marijuana becomes legal in other states, I am going to open up major marijuana distribution businesses.
Well,
and I am going to funnel as much cash through these as I can. I guarantee it.
Well, I don't. Well, I find it hard to believe that that would be not known or not discovered. I would imagine you can't just go down to the register's office and say, "I'm opening up a marijuana dispensary. My name is Joe. Here's my phone number." You're going to be investigated before you're allowed to open a marijuana dispensary.
So it's impossible that an individual.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be something
that's very easy. It's very easy. You find somebody that's clean to front the business for you. You back them. You pay them handsomely, and they don't know anything. They don't know who the business partners are. It's plausible deniability. They get the license. They get the thing, and off they go.
These books are going to be audited by the tax people.
Yes, the books that the tax people see.
I see. Okay.
Come on. I mean, think realistically how this business is done. This is not the first time that you cook the books on the side.
I would imagine this line of business is going to be more heavily scrutinized than car washes or bars or strip clubs are.
Not really.
No?
No, not really. So you're going to have an opportunity now for organized crime to take advantage. You're opening the door for additional money laundering through these businesses. Listen, if you've got the money to put together... Let me ask you, if you were inclined, and I know, Tom, you're not, let's say if weed were legalized here in Wisconsin, would you want to go down some rat hole, little hole-in-the-wall place where the guy is, you know, half baked out of his brain, and he's just like, he can't even count change out to you? Or do you want to go to the nice weed mall where it's, you know, all the accessories, and it's you know, got a, you know what I'm talking about, it's fancy and all this stuff. You're going to go to the big store. It's going to become the Walmart of weed. Weed Mart, okay? That's what it's going to be called, the Wisconsin Weed Mart. You're going to go down there, and they're going to have all the paraphernalia and this and that and the other thing, and there's going to be, you know, the Grateful Dead music playing. And
yeah, how about any other stereotypes you want to pull?
Sure, I'm trying. I'm
going. Cheech and Chong are working the
counter? Yeah. Okay, yeah, right, exactly. Right. You got you got Cheech working the counter and so forth. You're wanting to go there. What I'm saying is the money will create a business that will draw the crowd, and they will be able to use that for money laundering. The point of all this is, by relaxing the federal laws that are in existence, you are going to be setting a precedent for more difficult prosecution of other major drug trafficking and money laundering circumstances. I think that's a dangerous thing to do.
I would imagine the guys with the big brains in the justice field will try to set up something that can work around those issues.
Why should you have to set up something to work around it when you shouldn't, you just leave things alone?
Well, because I'm going to use an example here of a guy named Andy Williams. No, not that Andy Williams. This is Andy Williams, who runs a dispensary in Denver called The Medicine Man.
Uh-huh.
And he says he's looking for dependable access to bank accounts and credit. Yep. He says, "Sometimes I'm drowning in cash." He hires an armored car service to move his money and tries to pay his bills in cash as much as possible to reduce the amount he has on hand. He says he continually jumps from one bank to another when financial institutions decide his account is not worth the risk.
Yep.
And to try to keep the banks from catching on, he even sprays his cash with Febreze to disguise the scent of marijuana.
Oh, to disguise the stank.
Right.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so that's a prime example. Here's the concern, and this may be a legitimate concern. If I'm a thief, dude, I'm going to wait.
Targeting those companies, sure.
I'm going to wait till Friday afternoon, Saturday, maybe Sunday, after all the potheads have gone and gotten their stash for the weekend. I am going to hit you and hit you hard, and I'm going to hit you often.
You know, not everybody who is using recreational marijuana in Denver and Washington is Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
There's
a guy who will have an occasional joint after work. It's not a guy who's continually baked and can't function in society.
And just because he's a nice guy doesn't mean he's not a pothead. Still a pothead. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll take your calls when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Wisconsin Morning News now. The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.